Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Okay, it's such a privilege. I don't say that lightly. A privilege to invite our guests up onto stage today. Pastor Jonathan has ministered so authentically. I think there's such a connection of our heart to his heart. So he's the senior minister of Edge Church International, a church just doing phenomenal things. And he is a man that is centered on Christ. He has a humility about him, and he has treated us like family. He has just absolutely expended himself on our behalf. And so I encourage you to lean into the man of God, lean into the word of God, and you will be blessed. Can you join me? Stand to your feet and welcome Pastor Jonathan Fontanarossa.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Are you doing well? Why don't you stay standing with me? We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to be part of everything that we're going to do in the next few moments. I really do believe God wants to do something extraordinary. Father, I thank you for this great privilege to be able to share your word. I thank you that you have a plan that goes way beyond any human plans, any human strategy. I pray that we would remove ourselves and make way for you to do what only you can do. Father, you know every life, you know every circumstance, you know every person, youngest, oldest, first time here, regulars. You know every question, every fear, every doubt, every uncertainty, every need. So I ask that you would have your way. I can never know every need. I can never meet every need, but we know that you can meet every need. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. That you would speak specifically into individual situations, that as I speak, that you would take words that I speak and breathe life on them and cause marriages to be healed, lives to be transformed, families to advance. I pray today and thank you for all that you've done over the last 48 hours, but we know that you have something fresh. Your mercies are new every morning. So extend fresh mercies into this place. I pray that we would take this vision forward for your kingdom's sake. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in advance, before anything's achieved or done today, we give you all the glory for all that you're about to do in this place. So have your way in every life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you high five someone before you take your seats and grab your seats? That would be so good. You could just stay just for a few moments, guys. Is that okay? That would be great. Well, just the keyboard. You can go. You're obviously very keen to take notes in my preaching. I just wish you would be just a little bit more passionate. Is that okay? Just a little bit more energized and positive. My goodness, you just bring such joy. Such joy. Such a blessing. whatever you're having, can I have some? As long as it's not drugs. Wow. Pastor Ken and Christy, you have extraordinary senior pastors, and I don't just say that. We don't take platforms to just, you know, pat one another on the back, but I just love your pastors. I really do. I love the fact that we have a great connection, the privilege of being here last year, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here for Overflow. I know that I'm going back to my house in Overflow. We're in a season where we're having open heaven encounters as a church through the month of July, and just to be able to come here and not feel like I'm missing out, but actually being in Overflow myself. And Pastor Corey Turner has been an amazing, amazing ministry over the last 48 hours. I do encourage you to be back tonight. You will be incredibly blessed as Pastor Corey ministers. But Chrissy, thank you so much. You know, it's such a privilege. I don't take this privilege lightly. And we just really honor you. Could you honor your senior pastors? We just really love you guys so much. So good. Yeah, I think it would be great that we would honor our senior leaders. It's biblical to do so. Just really encourage them for all that they invest in your lives. They love you. They speak so fondly of you. It's a good thing. So good. So good. Pastor Ken, I don't normally do this. I feel like I need to today. I just feel like I want to encourage you. Not that you need my encouragement, but I want to encourage you. God began to speak to me as we're in worship. And so just encourage him. You've done so much work with individuals. God has not called you to masses. He's called you to individuals. And I just felt God wanted to encourage you that he specifically chose you for that, because he knew he could trust you with that. Because the individuals that you've worked with are so incredibly precious to God that he said, I need someone who won't be focused on the masses, but someone who would give themselves to the few, because those few are my treasure. And you will, heaven will only ever speak of the influence that you've had beyond those individuals, because those individuals are the ones you've interacted with. But beyond their life, heaven will speak, and heaven will tell the story. Eternity will tell the story of your influence. And you and Mel are an incredible blessing to the body of Christ, incredible man and woman of God, and we love you so much. I just want to say, if you're one of those individuals, you just need to know how desperately loved you are by God, that he would set someone aside and he would cause them to have deep treasures within them that would invest in you. You need to know if you're being loved by this couple, which probably is everybody in the room, including me. You are deeply treasured by God. There is a great reward. There is a great... Thank you. Thank you for being an example. Thank you for leading the way. Thank you for not getting caught up in what everyone else would think you should get caught up in. You got caught up in individuals, and you're a great treasure. I know what it means to me. I have people like my own Pastor Ken and Mel in my own house, and they are deep treasures to me, because they do work that others are not willing to do. They're willing to go deep and go to places that others aren't willing to go. And God is going to reward you richly, and heaven will tell the story, and I can't wait to be there with you one day in many, many years from now, watching the highlights reels and the movies of people's lives that you might have thought it was just the wonder of what was happening there, but beyond them, it's just like an iceberg. You're affecting the tip, but there's an iceberg beyond every life that you've touched. And we honor you. We really do honor you both for investing in people's lives, investing in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is blessed because of people like you. We really do honor you so much. So beautiful. Wow. Well, I do believe that Nations Church has entered a new day. I really do. I really do. And it's such a privilege to just be witness to it and just be kind of eavesdropping and peeking behind the curtain and seeing what God is doing amongst you. Thank you so much. That was perfect. Just like that. There you go. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, famous passage of scripture. I want to encourage you today. We've gone kind of deep at Overflow Conference, and I really just want to encourage every individual in this place that you are called to be part of God's plan. You are absolutely called. There is something unique, and there are seasons and eras in the life of churches. And I do believe that the church in our nation and the church across the world is entering into a new era. And a new era is very different to a new season. New seasons are things that we've experienced before. Just happened, like we experience winter. It's a new winter. But winters we've experienced before. But when you enter into a new era, it's something you have not experienced before. And I do believe that God is going to usher Nations Church into a new era, into a new day. I prophesied last night over Pastor Ken and Chrissy, and I feel that we need to create a space for them and invest for them to get away into a quiet space as a couple, even just to take a week or take a few days. I've encouraged them to get away, just open the Word and hear from God afresh, because there is something new that God wants to say to this house as you step into a new season. I don't have time to preach. This is not my message. But what I do believe is you are moving from a wilderness to a promise era. I really do believe that you are moving into the promises that God has for you, which means there will be changes, which means there will be shifts, but there are promises attached to those changes and shifts. I'm not aware of any changes and shifts, but I just know that when you're entering into a new stage and a new era, it's the continuation of God's promise and plan. From Moses to Joshua, it was a continuation of God's promise. It's a continuation of God's pattern. It's a continuation of God's purpose. But there is a shift in process as you step in and take possession of the land which God has promised over this vision. Now, I want to encourage you with this message this morning. The message is entitled, God Says. I just want to remind you of what God says about you and says to you. Isaiah 43, verse 14. No, not that. Just God says. That'll come later. I want to encourage you with what God says. Isaiah 43, verse 14 says this. This is what the Lord says. Now just pause there for a second. Whenever you read the scripture, if you were to read a scripture that says, this is what the Lord says, it's at that moment you want to sit up and listen. At that moment, you want to pay attention to what's coming after it, because it's not what Jonathan says. This is not what a speaker says. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they're so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wastelands. Now, if you're new to church, if you're new to all of this, and you're going, what are they talking about, Babylonians and Israel? This is just talking about a portion of history where God would take his people, his chosen people, Israel. Now in the new covenant, we're all his chosen people, but he would take his chosen people and he took them through battles and he took them through seasons and he helped them have victory because God is for his people. You need to know God is for you. I don't know about what it's like with marriages here and I don't know what it's like with people in this place, but have you ever wondered, men, I need you to help me with this. Have you ever wondered why sometimes our wives need us to tell them that we love them? And by the way, I do love my wife. I'm married to Rebecca. I only have one wife. I have three daughters, 9, 6, and 5, Stella, Mia, and Ivana, and they're praying for you, by the way. They've been praying for this trip and praying for you as I've been ministering here. They have my itinerary. They know when I'm preaching. They're praying for you. I love my wife, but have you ever heard the term, well, or when a man would say to a woman, and maybe a woman would say to a man, I don't know what the women are like in this church, but maybe a woman would say to a man, you know, I told you that I loved you when I married you. If anything changes, that doesn't happen here, right? Don't put your hand up. There's not one to respond to. Doesn't help your marriage, right? Why do you need to hear it? Isn't it obvious that I love you? Isn't it obvious that I'm with you? Isn't it obvious I come home every day? Isn't it obvious I bring a wage home? I care for you occasionally. I might buy you flowers or chocolates. I might buy myself some chocolates. Whatever, right? But isn't it obvious? Why do you need to hear it even though it's so obvious? Sometimes we just need to hear the obvious again because it does something in our hearts to hear the obvious again. And what I want to do today is really state some obvious things, because I've realized even with our walk with God, sometimes God just wants to remind us of what is absolutely obvious to each one of us. I want to remind us of what God says about each one of us and what God says to you. Because I know, it's not being prophetic to know that there's more than one person in the room, there's going to be someone in the room that's facing challenges. There's going to be someone in the room that's going through difficulty. There's going to be someone in the room that might have doubts or fears or uncertainty about the future. There's going to be someone in the room who unfortunately couldn't be there over the past 48 hours and may feel like they've missed out. But you just need to know that God is for you. You just need to know that you are part of the plan. This is not a plan for some staff. This is not a plan for some leaders. When God talks about his church, he's talking about you. He's talking about each one of us, that God has a plan for each one of us. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of the obvious. We did come to an altar some time ago. Maybe for some people today, you're going to come to an altar and connect with God and make covenant with him. Greatest decision you'd ever make. But we need to remind ourselves of what God says sometimes. Not just what we say, not what our circumstances say, not what others say about us, but what God says about us. It's a little bit like God saying, Jonathan, get out of the way. I want the microphone. It's time I speak to the people of Nations Church. I just got a few things that I want to say. And when he's speaking to the Israelites, he's saying, no, it's a moment of intervention. It's time that I step in, and it's time I remind you of some things. God sometimes just needs to remind us, because if you're anything like me, you get caught up in life, you get caught up in circumstance. You just need to have an incident, a flat tire, or a situation, even on the way to church, or you might have got up late, or you might have missed your alarm. Not anybody here, because you're all here on time, right? But because you're so passionate about worship. But we all, you know, you have situations and circumstances. Maybe you've got bad news. Is that a scenario? I'm going back to Adelaide to perform a funeral next Saturday of a girl who's passed away at 22 years of age, fought cancer for 13 years. I was there on day one and walked with the family for 13 years. I'm going to celebrate her life on Saturday. You have those days where you just need to be reminded that God is still in control. Thank God for eternity. Thank God for eternal hope. No more suffering. No more pain for young Rachel. No more. No more. She is now in the very presence of God. Sometimes we just need to be reminded when we go through circumstances of what God says. And he begins to declare who he is. It's not like God's reminding himself. He's reminding us of who he is. These are some of the statements he makes. He says, I am your Lord. Now, if you understand the term Lord, this is why we refer to him as the Lord of Lords. That word Lord is the one who is supreme in authority. In the Greek, in the New Testament, that word Lord is the Greek word kyrios, which means to be of supreme authority. There are people that lord it over people in certain countries, not in Australia, but people are referred to as lords because they have authority. That's why we refer to Jesus as the Lord of Lords, because he is the one of ultimate authority. So if you're wondering who's in control of your circumstance, of your challenge, of the battle that you're facing, you can be reminded that Jesus is saying, I am your Lord. I am the supreme authority over that sickness. I'm the supreme authority over that challenge. I'm the supreme authority over that depression. You need to know I am your Lord. I am the ultimate authority. What makes Jesus? You might be new to Christianity. You might be on a search. What makes Jesus the ultimate authority? Great question. I'm happy to answer it. What makes him the ultimate authority is that he is the only one who conquered death and rose again. He is the only one that has an empty tomb. He is the perfect, spotless Son of God who put on flesh, who left heaven and came to earth and took upon himself the punishment for the decisions that we made as the perfect sacrifice. And he not only died, but he rose again 3 days later and conquered every sickness, every disease, every fear, every doubt, and gives us access to eternal life. This is what makes him Lord. I am your Lord. He declares himself as your redeemer. Sometimes we kind of get these Christian cliches and we get used to the words. We've got to remind ourselves what these mean. I am your redeemer. You know what he's saying, Rick? I am your redeemer. When you redeem something, what it is you've purchased it back. Ever had a voucher you need to redeem? Right? You go and purchase something that is rightfully yours. What Jesus is saying is, I bought you back. Right? No, nobody owns you. Depression doesn't own you. Sickness doesn't own you. Your situations don't own you. Circumstance doesn't own you. The enemy doesn't own you. Jesus says, I bought you back. Now, I just want to speak to some people because I find that so many people struggle with their personal value. People struggling with self-esteem and struggling with whether they're worth it. It was in March of 1998. I hadn't met my wife yet. I'm from an Italian origin. And when you grow up in an Italian home, that means you've got to buy 10 homes before you're married. I never achieved it, but that's the goal, right? Is you've got to just buy a stack of homes. And so I'd been working for a year living at home with my parents, because that's what an Italian boy does, right? And I was working in sales, doing really well in sales, making money, and I wanted to buy my first home, which is a good thing. Young people, it's not a bad thing. I wanted to buy my first home. So I put a lot of money aside. I didn't holiday. I didn't spoil myself with cars or anything like that. I wanted to buy a home because I'm Italian. That's what you do, right? And so I wanted to buy a home. And I remember going to the auction with my mum, because that's what you do too, right? Right? Because my mum's going to bid for me. Now, my mum's loving and kind, and she'll hug you. Like, she comes to our church. My dad passed away in December last year. My mum attends our church. She just hugs anything that's moving. Sometimes I wonder whether she hugs pillars, right? She just hugs everything that's in the building, right? She's so loving and kind. She'll feed you to overflow. I mean, you want overflow? She'll feed you to overflow, right? That's what my mum does. But you try bidding against my mum at an auction, and you could die. It could cost you your life, right? So I brought my mum, like a good Italian man. I get my mum to bid for me at auction, right? And this is what happens at an auction, right? It was the same house. Now, there was probably about 30 people at the auction. There was one house. It was the house we were all trying to buy. And I got the house. Now, I didn't get the house because my mum, you know, basically threatened everybody. I got the house because I was the highest bidder. Same house, different purchase price. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the item, the house, doesn't determine its value. The purchaser does. Right? That's what it tells me. Now, the thing is this. Others don't determine your value. You don't even determine your value. Your circumstances don't determine your value. Whether you're run down doesn't determine your value. What determines your value is your purchaser. And God says, this is how much you're worth. I am willing to exchange my only son in exchange for you. This is not fantasy. This is not cliche. This is not religion. This is reality. History speaks of Jesus. He's not some mythical fact. Every time you write the date 2018, you are declaring that there was a day when Christ came. There was 2018 AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Every time you write the calendar, you are declaring that there was a moment in history where Jesus divided time. So whether you believe about what Jesus did or you don't, the fact of history is, not the fact of the Bible, the fact of history is that history records that Jesus walked the earth. Now, everybody's got to do something with that fact. And the beauty of that fact is that when God says, I'm your redeemer, now every time you hear the word, I am your redeemer, what God's saying is, that's how valuable you are, Rick. I bought you back. Don't you let anything else determine your value. Don't you let your circumstances, don't you let your past, don't you let what people say about, oh, yeah, but my parents said I was a mistake, I was unplanned. No, there is no mistakes. You might have come through your parents, but you came from God because he knit you together in your mother's womb. Can you believe what God's saying? He's saying, I'm your redeemer. That's your value. He goes on to say, I am the Holy One. There's no one perfect other than God. He makes no mistakes. There's not a person in this room that's a mistake. There's not a person in this room sitting here for the first time or sitting here for the thousandth time that is not here by God's perfect design. He is holy. He is perfect. He makes no mistakes. He created you. He knitted you together. Psalm 139 says he knit you together in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about that. Think about God's intimate involvement. There's over 7 billion people on the planet, and God was intimately involved in you. It wasn't like, oh, hang on a minute. Someone's just appeared. What do I do with them? He actually intimately knit you together. He designed you exactly as you are. Don't you lower it to some magazine. Don't you lower it to someone's opinion. Don't lower your esteem and your value based on what someone else says. Lift it to what God says. And he's saying to the people of Israel, I think you need some reminding. I think you need to remind yourselves that I am the Lord. I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One. I am your Creator. I knit you together. Do you realize that you are an image bearer of God? I wish we would get a hold of this, because this is not about arrogance, but it is about confidence. Genesis teaches us that we were made in the image of God. Every one of you is an image bearer of God. Now, oh man, Pastor Chrissy, I'm going to run out of time today. That's what's going to happen. But we're going to get there, right? Image bearer of God. You're just too easy to preach to. That's the problem, right? You're an image bearer of God. You're an image bearer of God. Now, let me just take you through this. If you're new to all of this, let me take you back. Right? God had an army of angels that were there to worship him. One of the angels desired to bear the image of God. He desired equality with God. So he and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, and he became the enemy, Satan and his angels. His demons, right? Cast out. And then God decides, I'm going to create humanity. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make them, let us make them in our image according to our likeness. He gave you what the enemy desired. That is why the enemy hates you. That's why the enemy's after you. Because every time he sees you, he sees the very thing he longed for. That's why he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, which has been the theme of Overflow. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't lower yourself to the image of a magazine. Don't lower yourself to the image of the filter on an Instagram post. Lift your understanding that you are created by God, fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully put together. That's why everyone should be treasured and everyone should be valued. And that's why if you are new here today, we don't just welcome because we're recruiting people to church. We don't just say, hey, if you're new here, we want to welcome you. We understand you're an image bearer of God and you were created by God, for God, and He has a purpose and a plan. And He sent Jesus specifically for you so that you could have access to eternal life. Even though we have all sinned and we all fall short of God's perfect standard, while we were still sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. That's how much He loves you. Message is good news. And He's for you. And He's reminding the Israelites. He's saying, you've got to remember who I am. I am your Lord. I am the Holy One. I am your Creator. I am your Redeemer. And I am your King. Which says you are not part of this world. You're part of a greater kingdom. Oh, you got to know this. Imagine if I was the ambassador for Australia. When you're an ambassador, when you're a citizen of a nation and you're an ambassador for Australia, the scriptures teach us that we are ambassadors of heaven, right? So when you're an ambassador, I can go to any country in the world. And the moment I step into the Australian embassy, even though I'm in another country, once I'm on the Australian embassy, the law says that I live by the laws of my country. Do you realize that we're in a foreign land here? This is not our final destination. We're ambassadors, which means I live by the laws of heaven, not the laws of earth, right? Which means when there's sickness, I can believe for healing. Which means when there's lack and there's a global financial crisis, I can believe for provision because I'm not subject to the land around me. I'm an ambassador of heaven, which means I have access to the resources of heaven. Do you realize who you are? This is why I preach messages like this, because I forget. I forget when I get overwhelmed. We're looking to buy buildings. We're looking to expand into different countries. Just like you're going into Ireland, we're going into different countries. And I've got to remind myself that it's not Jonathan building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the one who said He will build the church is the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator, the King, the Redeemer. He brought us back. You should be encouraged this morning that God is for you. And God has a plan for you. And He's wanting to do something new amongst you. And I believe it's a day of breakthrough. I really do. This is not just a positive preacher. I actually believe it's a day of breakthrough for you nations, right? And so there are a few things that He says in this passage. He says, for your sakes, in Isaiah 43:14. You know what the simplicity of that is? God is for you. Some of you just need to be reminded, God is for you. And if our God is for us, then who can be against us? God is for you. If your marriage is struggling, God is for you. Call on Him. If your health is struggling, God is for you. Call on Him. If your business is struggling, God is for you. Call on Him. Young person, if your esteem is struggling, God is for you. Call on Him. He's reminding you today that He is for you. He's not against you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. Don't let your circumstances dictate. Let God dictate. He's saying to you today that He is for you. Number two, He said, I made a way in your past. This is kind of crazy, this scripture, because sometimes if you don't understand how it all works, you can read these scriptures and go, is God confused? If you read Isaiah 43 again, he's saying, you know, this is what I did, and I conquered the Babylonians, and I drew them under the water, and they were drowned out, and they were snuffed out. He's reminding them of things of the past, and then he says, but forget all of it. Well, I don't know what you want me to do. One minute you're reminding me, the next minute you're saying, forget about it. What he's saying is, I made a way in your past. What I want you to do is, the only reason I want you to look back is to stir you to look forward. Look, my RE campus, look, there was nothing here. How many years ago, Chrissy? 14 years ago. Thank you. There's another Chrissy right here, right? 14 years ago. Thank you. 14 years ago, there was nothing here. Look around you. We're about to have a second meeting, and we're in Port Kennedy, and we're going to go to Ireland, and we're somewhere else, Belmont. This is global takeover, right? Because we got to look back and remind ourselves, because we have a propensity to forget. God says, I made a way in your past, right? He defeats impossible opposition. He makes pathways that seem impossible become possible. And even if you say, I'm yet to see God do something in my past, even if you haven't recognized that God was there in your past, you can recognize that God was there in the past. Be encouraged by someone else's miracle. Be encouraged by someone else's breakthrough. Be encouraged. Know that God makes a way. We're being encouraged thousands of years later by this miracle that was done for the Israelites. We can look back to the past and recognize God is on the throne. He's not looking at Australia going, oh, I don't know what to do. He's not looking at Ireland. He's not looking at Ireland going, I don't know what to do. He's saying, I've done it in the past. Would you just remember what I'm able to do? The fact that you're here is evidence the enemy's lost. The fact you got up this morning, the fact that in some of your circumstances that I'm not aware of, the fact that in some of your circumstances it took every bit of your energy and every bit of your motivation to just get yourself out of bed. But the fact that you're here, I want to honor you because it's evidence that the enemy has not won. God is for you and he's made a way. We can encourage ourselves, reminding ourselves that God has done amazing things. He says in this passage that he made the water stop. He says in this passage that he made the water flow. So if you feel like you're drowning under the storms of life, God says, I can make the water stop. And if you feel like you're barren and you're in a desert place, God says, I can make the water flow. Because God is the creator of all things. He's the Holy One. He is able. And so it doesn't matter what circumstances, whether it's barrenness or you feel like you're overwhelmed by the storms of life, God goes, in both circumstances, whatever extreme, in your natural, I can do the supernatural. That's what God is able to do. If you need healing, he can heal. If you need restoring, he can restore. If you need refreshing, he can refresh. If you need provision, he can provide. If you need protection, he can protect. He makes a way where there seems to be no way because he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants, because he's holy, he's creator. He just needs to open his mouth. You go, yeah, but he's got nothing to work with when it comes to me. And you know what? He does. But even if you think he's got nothing to work with, he took nothingness and made formation. He can speak to nothingness and create something. He is for you, and he's made a way in your past. Number three, he's making an even greater future. Do you know, and I want to speak particularly just to our youth and young adults here at Nations just for a moment. There will come a day, mark my words, where you will long for the good old days. Just remember I said that in 20 years' time. And remind me too, by the way. There'll come a day, young people, where you'll go, I just wish we could just do some of those, you know, those Hillsong songs. I wish we could do some Young and Free. I just, you know, there was just something of an anointing on those Young and Free songs. Mark my words, young people, you're going to long for the good old days. And God says, he says, look at the good old days. Look at all I did in the past. And then he says, but forget all that. Is God saying that the good old days weren't good old days? No, he says they're good. They're just old days, and I'm doing something new. The thing is this, it's not cliche to say the best is yet to come, because the best is always yet to come, because Jesus said, I would build my church. Don't let someone convince you that the church is heading for bad days. Jesus is coming back for a beautiful and a magnificent and a wonderful bride, so the future's always going to be brighter, and the day that I hand our church over, I'm going to keep declaring that the future is brighter, because it always is brighter, and we can remind ourselves of the good old days, but we've got to remember that God is always up to something new. Behold, I do a new thing. He's saying, forget it. Now that I've reminded you, now that I've stirred your faith, forget it. Don't stay stuck in the past. Keep moving forward. Nations Church, I'm so grateful for what God has done amongst you. And I'm so grateful for the 14 years that God has been growing you and enlarging you and taking you to different places. And God this morning is saying, it's so good, but forget all of that. Behold, I'm about to do something new. Let that stir your faith for your future. He's about to do something new. If the musicians could come back, it'll look like I'm finishing. God doesn't despise the old days. He just says the good old days are nothing compared to the future he has for you. Older generation, more mature generation. God still has something for you. You're not in retirement. We don't retire in Christianity. I'm talking about you can retire from your job, but you don't retire in Christianity. It's not for you to now sit back and watch the young people take up the mantle. Yes, we should hand certain things over to them. And yes, they should carry weight. And yes, they should bring energy. And yes, they should be fruitful. But you have something to contribute. Yeah. I was so blessed last weekend. We have we're having our open heaven afternoon meetings. We have these open heaven worship meetings just for the month of July. And at a particular point in the meeting, I felt to call forward the Caleb spirit, the people that have waited 45 years for their promise, the older generation. And I said, if you feel like there's fire in your belly, there's strength in your bones, and you're saying, no, 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 don't you think that I'm old and weary and worn. I've got still fire in my belly. I've still got battles to win. I've still got land to take. I said, I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come forward. Well, as they began to come forward, I didn't say give them a hand. As they began to come forward, spontaneously, our young people wrapped around them, around the altar, and just began to cheer and cheer and cheer. Older generation just began to weep. I started to cry as I watched what was happening. I didn't say give them a hand. You know what? And I said to the older generation, I said, do you see what just happened? That was out of the abundance of the heart. You know what's in your young people's heart? They desire you to be involved. They want you involved. They need your wisdom. They need your years. They need your encouragement. They need your faith. They need to know that they can do this for the next 40 years and still have fire in their belly. They need someone that would set an example for them. That's why I love the generational nature of this church. Because I don't walk in here and see a particular race, and I don't walk in here and see a particular age. What I see is I see a generation alive at this moment of time stepping into a new day. He's making an even greater future. The church isn't going from glory to shame. The church is going from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The fourth thing he says is this: I've already started. God says, I'm for you, right? He says to you, I'm for you. He says to you, I made a way in your past. He says, I'm making it even greater. And number four, he says, behold, I've already started. Can you not see it? This is the thing. I just want to encourage you. He's already in Ireland. He's got your building ready. He's got land ready. He's got people ready. He's got salvations ready. He's already gone ahead of you. And he's saying, can you not see it? Because you've got to see with eyes of faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God, but he rewards those who diligently seek him. Don't seek the circumstance, seek him. And you will discover in him that he's already at work. He's already gone before you. He's gone before you for this campus. He's gone before you for every other campus. He's gone before you in your business. He's gone before you with your kids. Some of you are believing for your kids to come to Christ. He's already gone before you. If you would understand that he is Lord, that he is creator, that he is redeemer, that he is restorer, that he is deliverer, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he knows the end from the beginning. This is why when he teaches us to pray, Jesus says, not by vain repetition, but by model, he says, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Turn your eyes up and begin to declare his name, because when you do, you'll begin to declare his character. And he's already going ahead of us. Imagine just for a moment if you could SMS God. Imagine if for a moment he had an iPhone. He wouldn't, because it's a bitten apple. Right? But just imagine he had an iPhone and you could text God. Now, when you're texting, if you don't have an iPhone, I'm going to go as quick as I can. If you don't have an iPhone, if you've never done this, young people will explain this to you. Their emotions go like this because of one little thing that's developed in the iPhone. When you send an SMS to a friend and they begin to type back, there's three little dots that come up on screen. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Young people, this is like what causes heart palpitations. Because what happens is you text them and then you see the bubbles come up and you go, oh, they're going to write back. And then the bubbles disappear. You go, they don't like me. Then the bubbles come back. You go, they're going to write back. Then the bubbles disappear. They don't like me. Anyone know what I'm talking about? None of you do that, of course, right? So I want you to understand that when I do this illustration. Because I want you to see something. This is what could happen. Could we put the first one up? Imagine you text God and you say, God, I can't figure it out. He says, well, I'll direct your steps, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Did you notice no bubbles came up in between? The reason no bubbles come up is because God doesn't think about it. He's got an answer immediately. He doesn't go, oh, wow, so you can't figure it out. Oh, well, what do I do with them? You might be here as a business person going, I don't know what to do next. It's not like God's going, well, yeah, well, neither do I. Give us a couple of days, I'll text you back. That's how God works. He is the answer, right? He doesn't just have the answer. He is the answer, right? You might say, let's put up the next one. You might say something like, I'm too tired. He says, well, I'll give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Right? You might say, let's put the next one up. It's impossible. And God says, well, all things are possible. Like, have you got any others? It's almost like God's waiting on the other end, but he's got no bubbles. Right? He's got any other questions? Well, let's go to the next one. You might say, well, nobody loves me. And God just says, well, I love you, John 3:16. Any others? Have you got any other questions? Anything else that's going to stop you from stepping into a new day? Well, let's go to the next one. You might say, well, I can't forgive myself. And God says, well, I forgive you. Well, you might say, let's keep going through them. You might say, it's not worth it. Well, God says, well, it will be worth it. Romans 8:28, he can make all things work together, right? You might say, well, yeah, but I get it. I get it's a new day for Nation Church, but I'm not smart enough. And God says, well, I'll give you wisdom. You might say, well, yeah, but I get it, but I'm not able. And God says, well, I am able, 2 Corinthians 9:8. You might say, yeah, but I can't go on. You don't understand, Jonathan. I can't go on. And God says, well, my grace is sufficient. You might say, yeah, but Jonathan, but God, I can't do it. And God says, you can do all things. Yeah, but God, I can't manage. And God said, well, I will supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. You might say, yeah, but God, I get all of that, but I'm afraid. And God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Have you got any more? And God says, well, and you say, well, God, I feel alone. And God says, I will never leave you. Now, have you ever had one of those friends that you go to them and you want to unload? You're not looking for strategy, you're looking for sympathy, right? You're looking for them to go, yeah, I know what it's like, man. Like, I just feel alone. Nobody understands me. But you've got one of those friends that are a little bit like this, that every time you say it, they come back with the scripture. It's like going and getting counsel from Pastor Ken. Right? Just say, Pastor Ken, I just can't do it. And he goes, yeah, well, you can do all things through Christ. Yeah, Pastor Ken, but I feel alone. He says, no, well, I'll never leave you nor abandon you. You got any other questions? One of those friends? Have you, everybody had one of those friends? You don't know whether to hug them or punch them. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're just like, all I'm looking for is some sympathy. So what ends up happening is when you get to this point in the conversation, right, you just get completely frustrated and you go, okay, I'm just going to fire some bullets, right? And this is what you do. You do this. You say, yeah, but God, I can't see it. I'm up against it. I am overwhelmed. There doesn't seem to be a way out. And this is what God does. He just goes, okay, if you're going to download, let me download. I am your Lord. I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One. I am your Creator. I am your King. I am for you. I made a way in your past. I'm making an even greater future. And I have already started. Have you got any more SMSs to send? What does God say? And what is he saying about you? He's for you. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. It's going to take a moment to minister into this. You might be hearing you don't have a personal daily relationship with Jesus. You might have made a decision once to walk with Jesus, but he's got a plan for you. His plan was that you would have eternal life. We broke it. He fixed it. And his ultimate intent is to restore you one day to a place where there's no more pain, no more suffering. Beyond this life, there's an eternity, and God has made a way through Jesus that you and I can access eternity. That's why we call it grace. It's undeserved. You might be sitting here going, I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it if you knew my life. But that's why we call it grace, because none of us earned it. And you can begin a journey today, whether it's for the first time or someone who needs to just come back, because life doesn't work without God. And you don't want to breathe another breath or go another day not knowing whether your eternity is secure in God. And this is the beginning of a journey of walking with a God who loves you and is for you. The world doesn't work without God. Life doesn't work without God. And if you're saying, Jonathan, I would love to start this journey or restart this journey of walking with Jesus, because I realize on my own, it's just a mess. I'm with you. Every one of our lives is a mess without God. We made a mess of the world. That's why it's so broken. And yet Christ came so that we would have access one day back to eternal life where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more fear, no more depression, no more anxiety. Just eternally in the abundant blessing of God. And if you're saying, Jonathan, I'd love for you to pray with me that I would pray this prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. To declare that Jesus is the ultimate authority, you can be made right with God. What an incredible day this will be for you. If that's you, I'm not going to prolong this because I'm done with time. I'm out of time. But I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you are if you're saying, Jonathan, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Is there someone else? Just raise your hand so I can see it clearly. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Is there someone else? Just raise your hand. You're wanting to put your life back into the hands of God. I'd love to pray with you. How beautiful. How beautiful that God would put all of this together, even just for one life. Is there someone else in this place? Just quickly raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. And then I'm going to pray over the house in a moment. What I'm going to encourage you to do, church, is we're going to pray a prayer together. This person that's responded is going to pray this prayer as a declaration of their heart. Open mouth confession. So we're all going to pray with that person and encourage them together. Do you realize that someone's eternity is about to shift from eternal destruction to eternal life? This is so pivotal in someone's life. How powerful that God would personalize it for one person. Let's pray together. Dear God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. We're sorry for the sins we've committed. We turn away from our old life and turn to you. We make a commitment today to following you all the days of our life. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we thank you today for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's really celebrate. The Bible says that all of heaven celebrates over just one life. All of heaven parties and celebrates. So that person that responded, one of the team are going to come and speak to you a little bit later on and be able to give you some stuff and help you on that. This is only the beginning of the journey. If you were here and you just didn't have the courage to raise your hand, that's okay. Please speak to someone after the meeting. God has a great plan for you. Would you stand to your feet with me just for a moment? I want to pray over you as a church and I'm going to hand back to the team. God is for you, nations. He made a way in your past and he's making a way in your future and he's already begun. And I want to pray over every one of your life because we need, the kingdom of God needs every one of you flourishing in the purposes of God. If you feel comfortable to do so, I want you to raise both hands towards heaven. And I want to pray over you, over every marriage, Father, over every business, over every career, over every young person, over every senior. I pray that you would ignite a fire inside of each one. I pray as we've been declaring overflow, again, I pray, fill every vessel to overflowing. I pray every marriage be blessed, every family be blessed, every career be blessed, every young person be blessed. I pray sick bodies be healed. I pray provision to come. I pray favor to come. And I pray that you would open our eyes to see. I pray that we would understand that you are Lord, that you are creator, that you are King, that you are Redeemer, that you are for us. And if you are for us, then who can be against us? I pray that you would stir every faith, every person's faith right now to dare to believe for something extraordinary. And I pray over Nations Church that you would pour out your blessing in Jesus' name. And we all shouted, amen, amen. Come on, let's worship together.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.